Tim Schultz, and this is From Theory to Practice. Welcome to the show today. Welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to the Thursday Netflix earning edition of what it is that we are trying to do, man. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for being a part of what we are trying to do here on the Tasty Network. It is only because of you and y'all and all y'all that we can do what we do. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you guys checking out my show. If you're checking out the other shows on the network, you guys are absolutely amazing. If you're watching over on the Tasty Live Network, then I would actually bounce over to YouTube. Bouncing over to YouTube, you can join the conversation, you can join the discussion, you can ask me questions live in the chat box, and I will get to them about 30 to 37 minutes after you ask the question, and I go through all the other rigmarole that I'm trying to go through. But let's pop in here. Let's have a look-see at what's going on in the stock market. I don't know if it's still there, because we are asymptotically approaching zero. We might even totemly? I don't know, we might even hit zero. Sometime here pretty soon. Even the S&P is down 15 as the show gets off to a rocky start. Even the S&P is down 15. Risk-free asset, otherwise known as the NASDAQ Futures Index, down 102. So not exactly doing what you would expect a risk-free instrument to do, which makes sense because it is an extremely high-risk instrument. You got the boomers down 35 today, so more or less unched. And then you've got the Russell 2000 Futures Index down just a couple of points, just a skosh or two, maybe seven skoshes lower below the unched marker. So right across the board, market doesn't like whatever the market doesn't like. I mean, you could just fill in the blank with whatever story you like to attach to the direction of move. It's just about as good as any other story that the prognosticators might attach to a given directional move. But we do have Netflix earnings later today, which Netflix, if I'm not mistaken, was pretty much unchanged earlier. Yeah, so now we're down a few points. Netflix was kind of hovering around like plus one or plus two on the day. And, you know, it's just kind of hanging in there. We've got Netflix earnings after the bell. Makes sense that the market wouldn't really move too much in Netflix specifically as it readies itself for earnings. But we have a couple of things that I want to do in the portfolio. Then we're going to do a Netflix earnings trade. And then, of course, as we try to do every single day, I'm going to try to get to as many questions from you all as I can. So if you've asked me a question recently, or even in the distant past, it doesn't really matter to me at this point, this would be a great point, a great time to get it into the chat box, and there'll be a greater likelihood, a much higher delta, as we traders might say, that I will get to the question the earlier that you drop it in the chat box. All right, so for the positions in the portfolio, the only thing that really needs our attention is, obviously, it's going to be a futures options position, just because that's all we do from theory to practice. It's basically from theory to the buying power relief on futures options. I think that's going to be the new title of the show come the third quarter of the year. But if we look at MCL, so we've seen better days in the MCL position, not going to lie. Like, this is not exactly working out as we would have hoped. You've got the stock at 82.20, or the future, I should say, at 82.20. We sold it for $2. It is marking for $3, so we're down about 90 cents, which is interesting because it's in the money by more than a dollar. So that's a little bit of a head scratcher. We should be down more than this, but nevertheless, I'm not going to fight it because it's working out in our favor. And so I'm looking at this situation though, and I want to control the directional risk a little bit at this point, because, you know, as we looked at this just last week, where we kind of looked at the MCL option chain and it was like, man, there's a good amount of premium because oil, because CL is such a whippy product. There's always a good amount of premium on both sides of the market. Like, there's always a tremendous amount of premium, even a good distance away from where the action might be. So that can really allow you to, you know, bide your time in terms of when you want to make adjustments and maybe not make adjustments as quickly as you might otherwise do. Because, I mean, you can see right here, we are a full dollar in the money on this position. And still, check this out, guys. Like, if I delete these circles and I go in here, I mean, if you look at the delta on the position, our delta is about 57. Right, positive 57. So, you know, traditional Tasty mechanics, when you roll the untested side of a strangle, you want to reduce your directional bias by about 30, maybe 25% on the low end to 50% on the high end. So what that would mean, just to give you guys the actual numbers here, you can see that I'm at 57 delta on my CL position, right? Ooh, that's a pretty aggressive line. But this is a pretty aggressive market. So there you have it. 57 delta on MCL. If I wanted to reduce that by 25%, that's what? That's about 14, Right. So I'd want to take my delta down from 57 down by 14 to be at about 43 or so. Like, give or take, it doesn't have to be exact. I mean, this is all very much, you know, kind of a fluid thing. If I wanted to reduce my delta by 50%, then I would take my delta down by about 28. So then my delta would be what? I'd be at about 28 to 29 delta, give or take. Obviously, it's going to be half of this number. And so, you know, somewhere in that range is where you would typically look to reduce your directional bias to kind of, you know, neutralize the direction that you have, bring in some premium from the other side of the market, and just, you know, better control your risk. Okay, that's what we would do with a traditional strangle. Now, this is not a strangle. This was just a standalone short put. But here's what's really cool. The same basic rules still apply. Like, you can take the same basic framework and apply this to a standalone short put and make or let that first adjustment be a move into a short strangle, right? You can just move into a more neutral strategy where you're not as bullish as you were, but you bring in some premium from the other side. You know, now obviously you have a range where you want the stock to land, or the future to land, I should say. And so there are some gotchas that come alongside the gimmies, of course, as there always is, but it makes a lot of sense. And this gives us a nice reference point for understanding, you know, what type of adjustment we want to make and what we're trying to accomplish with that adjustment. So this is kind of what we're up against here with MCL. So let me go ahead and delete all that. So if I go into the option chain for MCL, you can see we're 28 days to go. So we're not quite at 21. I'm not going to roll out yet. I think I'm just going to add this call and let's see what happens over the course of the next week or 2 weeks. Because again, oil is a mover. It's a shaker. It could be 84 tomorrow. Like, it could be 84 overnight tonight. It could be 84 by the end of the show, right? And so I just kind of want to move, you know, methodically here. Let's make our adjustments more or less gradually along the way. Let's not do anything super crazy. So we go into May, 28 days to go, right? There's my put strike. You can see that right over there. Like, here's my put strike over here. Now, remember, I'm looking to trim my directional bias by 14 to 28 delta. So that is really, really helpful when I'm trying to, you know, select a strike on the call side. So let me go ahead and delete this circle here because I want to move down a little further on the screen to kind of get a broader swath. We typically only need a broad swath just in life. But right now, we actually require a broader swath, maybe the broadest of all swaths for looking at this. Man, we got 40 minutes left of this. This is going to be something the rest of the show. So when we look at, and we have our swath exactly where we would like it to be. So I look at the deltas on the options. The 86.5 call is the 28 delta. So again, that's going to reduce my direction by about 50%. I'm going to be left with, I'll still be bullish. I'll still want oil to rally, but not nearly to the degree that I would need it to rally if I stayed put and did nothing. If I go down to the 14, which is all the way down here, that's going to be my 91 strike. So I think somewhere, you can see that's a very wide range, right? I mean, we have a lot of different options available to us at our disposal for where we might want to choose and select, you know, the different premium. When I look at, I mean, and look at this, guys, still, I mean, the 28 delta is the 86.5. So I'd be left with an 83.25 put, 86.5 call. That still leaves me with a $3 and some change range for oil to land. And I would both of the options would be out of the money. So I could potentially be on my way to some type of profit on the position. Like, I really like that a lot. And you can see I can still get a dollar. I can still get a dollar for that adjustment. That's a pretty significant amount of premium. When you take into account, I collected $2 on order entry. So I can get half of that, or a little bit more than half of that, by making this adjustment. And this is making the adjustment pretty late in the game. Like this, you know, we have been in this position for like, what, a week, maybe 2 weeks? And we had not been tested up until the last day or two. And so everything was working out okay. So we were sitting tight. We were letting it work and doing all those things. But now we've been tested. And it's pretty cool that we can still make this adjustment and get a decent amount of premium. And I mean, some of you guys might be like, well, I don't really want to choose the 86.5. I want to give myself even more room. Maybe you go to like an 88. I mean, look at this. You do the 88 call. You still pick up 85 cents on the mid price. And that's a 22 delta. So you're still going to trim your directional bias, you know, by quite a bit. I think the 91, I would probably eliminate that from contention at this point, because you're only getting 50, 55 cents on that, which is not insignificant when we're talking about, you know, MCL options, but I just think there's better alternatives available for you right here on the option chain. And so I think somewhere between the 86.5 and the 88 are going to be really, really good options. I think I'm going to go right outside the expected move, and I'm going to choose this 87.5 for about 92 or 93 cents. This is going to be the winner for the adjustment that I want to make on this oil position. Because again, we're not talking about Procter & Gamble, right? Like, this isn't GE. Like, this thing's going to move. It's going to move by a lot. GE hasn't moved by more than 30 cents in a day. It's been like 18, 25 years since the stock's moved by more than 30 cents. MCL, this thing's going to move by a lot. I mean, it's already down 4 cents today, right? And so when you look at that, it's like, man, this thing can really, really move around. And so I want to give myself a lot of room on both sides of the market. Again, we'll still be bullish. We'll still need MCL to rally back. But I think this is going to be a good level. So let's go ahead. Let's delete the all of the gibberish on the screen. Let's sell the 85.5 call. And, you know, we're already margined on the put side, so there's going to be no additional margin. In fact, we even get a little bit of margin relief. This is, of course, Anton Kulikov working hard behind the scenes to negotiate us that margin relief. So that's kind of nice. But yeah, 92, looks like 93 cents on the mid price. Let me try 92. MCL options, they're not the worst ever. They're not great. They're not amazing. But they're not like MNQ. MNQ, as we've learned, is the most craptacular market that does exist in the modern day financial marketplace. So let's go ahead and the market's moving around as we speak. I don't even know. Yeah, we're not even going to get that. Market's moving around a little bit too much. Let's go ahead and, oh, I got to talk about SMH really quick. Oh yeah, I'm glad I saw that because we'll talk about that for two. Let me just do 90 cents and get filled. I might get improved to 91. All right, so we're filled at 90 cents. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. All right, so MCL. So now we have a strangle on. You can see we're in the same cycle. I have a short strangle on. I've converted my short put into a short strangle. And so, yeah, we sit tight and we just let it work and do all those things. The SMH. So if you guys remember, this was on April 15th. So this was like just a couple days ago. Now it's Monday, I guess. On the show, we tried to get filled for a one penny credit roll, and I was not able to get filled. Well, I mean, you can see the timestamp on the actual trade. I mean, it's right there. Like, I'm not making this up. This is not like my opinion. This is not just me trying to pull a fast one on you guys. It got filled right after the show. So when the show is over each day, like, I have my post-show duties that I have to complete. And so I kind of have to set the account aside for a minute, and I have to do the things I have to get done. Well, I was doing those things. I got them all done, and then I went back, and I was like, I wonder what happened to SMH. I wanted to cancel the order, but it had already gotten filled. And so this, because again, I try to do all my trading on the show. And so I'll let you guys down a little bit on this one. But we did talk about it that day. And I did say when we talked about it, I'm going to leave this on. And if we get filled, we get filled. But my intention was to cancel it before we got filled. And I wasn't able to do that because I wasn't fast enough. SMH was just a little bit quicker on the trigger there. So SMH, we were able to roll out from April. You see that right here into May. So we have the same trade on, which is actually probably working out pretty well today. SMH is, wow. Yeah, look at, holy smokes. Look at SMH. Man, this thing is getting absolutely gorilla smacked. So let's take a look at this. Hold on a second. I wasn't even going to look at this. But now it's like, wow, what's going on with SMH? Let's bring up the Allison Chance because I got to get to Netflix really quick. Because I got a Stone Cold Steve Austin, Lock, Stock, and Barrel certified trade for you guys that's going to make you a whole lot of money. If by making a whole lot of money, you can also interpret that as losing a pretty significant amount of money. So let's go ahead and let's see here. So I'm not really up any. I'm not really up anything on the trade. So my total trade price is $2.01. I thought it was a little bit more than that, but it's currently marking $1.70. We're only up 30 cents. I'm going to sit tight. It is getting absolutely stapled today, but let's hope it kind of hangs down here for a bit longer. So I'm going to sit tight. We'll do nothing. But all right, so that's SMH and kind of the saga that's going on in there. All right, let's go into, the market's rallying kind of a lot. Interesting. NASDAQ was just down 120. Now it's down 85. Did Uncle Jay come out and announce emergency meeting? QE? Is QE back? Like, that would be the only thing that would make sense to me at this point. But anyway, let's go into Netflix. And let me know, what are you guys doing in Netflix? Let me know in the chat box. If you have questions for me, drop them in the chat box. If you have comments about what you're doing for Netflix, I would love to know what you all are doing and how you guys are seeing it. I mean, I'm seeing this thing the only way it can be seen. Like, I'm seeing this thing. I mean, there's just one way to play Netflix. Like, if you go to the option chain and you go to the one-day cycle, right? Again, Thursday is the best day of the week, just in a general sense. But but it's also the best day of the week for expected move butterflies in that week. Because tomorrow, we're going to have the benefit of there being no time left in the cycle. So if we get the move that we want, then man, we can really set ourselves up for a really nice payday. Now, it hasn't happened to us. It's been a minute or two or 10, but tomorrow, I have a feeling, is going to be our day. So if you look at Netflix, it's 6:08. What I'm thinking we do here is, man, what did Amelia have for us? She had it on my list here. Now it's gone. Where did she put it? Ah, there it is. Beautiful. So I am thinking, so earlier she had, this is a pretty bold move. She wanted to do a 650, Netflix to the upside, obviously. 650, 675, 700 expected move butterfly. It was like $2, 250. Yeah, so it was like 260 earlier. Now it's 254. So this has the potential to be an incredible payoff. Like, again, if you look at the, you know, risk to reward, this can be a little fake and this can be a little illusionary in a lot of ways. And I'll talk about that in a second. It's still pretty favorable on the order entry, right? When analyzing, all right, if this thing works out like perfectly, right? We're looking at what? Was that a 10-to-1? A 10-to-1 payoff? Right? Not quite 10-to-1, like 9-to-1 payoff? If we got maximum profit. Okay. Now that's intriguing. It's interesting. It's attractive. It's all those things. However, it is also not really a realistic target. Like, let's make sure that we call apples apples. Let's make sure that we, you know, kind of, you know, pull the wool off of over people's eyes. Maybe. Nah, probably not, but it's already out there. Anyway, let's explain what we can reasonably expect out of this trade here tomorrow. If we pay 260 for this, because keep in mind, to get maximum profit, what would you need to do? You would need to hit 675, right? Thread that needle and have it stay at 675 at expiration tomorrow. It's a very, 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 very low probability event. Because again, you're talking about a $600 stock. You know, to get anywhere within a $10 or $15 range is going to be incredibly difficult to do because, you know, the market is going to be very whippy in Netflix tomorrow. Even if it's a big move up or a big move down, there's probably going to be a lot of back and forth and a lot of kind of finding the new equilibrium price. And not to mention, you have to get the side of the move correct, right? So, I mean, obviously, if Netflix goes down and the subscriber growth or the whatever growth or the revenue numbers or whatever are just not what the market likes and they send it lower, then this thing is going to be dead to rights on the open tomorrow. But if we do get the directional move correct, I think, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable if we land somewhere within the side of this butterfly net, which I may even expand it here in just a second, just to light a slightly larger stack of cash on fire for tomorrow. If we get it anywhere close to the short strike, I think we could get out of it. We could potentially sell this thing out for $10 or $11 or $12. I think that's possible. I think that's a realistic upside target. Now, I'd be very happy with getting out of this thing for $5 or $6 or $7. Like you pay $250, you sell it out for $6. I mean, that's a $3.50 winner tomorrow. That would be amazing, right? And so those are kind of my expectations for tomorrow. Now, again, I mean, the market's going to determine what we're going to be able to do, right? You can't trade the market that you want. You got to trade the market that you have. I still have no idea what that means, but it feels like the right thing to say right now. So if we look at $25 wide butterfly, $2.60, what if, and again, this is not official. We're not signing on any dotted lines. This is a very unofficial conversation. What if I widen this out just a titch to go 30 points wide? So we go 645, 675, 705. Now it's only $3.60. But we've given ourselves $5 more on both sides of the market. And this is still just barely over 1% of the account. You know, again, is this stack of cash essentially getting lit on fire? It's about an 80 to 85 delta. However, I do think that I like this 30-point wide butterfly a little bit better than the 25-point wide butterfly simply because I actually moved, you know, I moved from the 650 strike to the 645 strike. To me, that's a pretty significant move because what I've done is if you look at the end of the expected move right here, I'm giving myself a little bit more real estate to work with on the upper edge of the expected move. Because it's going to take a pretty significant upside move in Netflix to get to 675. Which is not to say it can't do it. I mean, it's Netflix. It can absolutely do it. But I want to put myself in a position to be as profitable as possible if the move higher, if there even is a move higher, which I don't know. But if there is a move higher and it's a bit more modest, I want to be well positioned, maybe get something out of that too. And so, you know, if Netflix only rallies up from 608 right now to like 630 or 635 or 640 on the opening bell, it's possible that this butterfly is profitable. Now, am I going to take it off? I don't know. You got to wait and see. You got to tune into tomorrow's show. I can't answer that question right now. But I want to put myself in a position to where that could be a profitable outcome for us. Whereas if we move the strikes of the butterfly too far away to the upside, then that really becomes not something that's going to work out for us, most likely. And so this is going to be the strategy, 645, 675, 705. For people that are listening to the show, I appreciate you guys very, very much. It's a $3.65 debit. I will be managing this tomorrow whenever it's most appropriate. Again, I try to do all of my trading on the show. I have now given myself a little Barry Bonds asterisk that I can put next to expected move butterflies, which is those get managed when they get managed, right? Because it's already hard enough to make money on these. And if I wait for the, you know, the 40-minute window of the show to take these things off, it becomes even more difficult. But if you watch the show tomorrow, I will certainly be recapping this. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm at JSchultzF3. I will be tweeting about this as I'm doing the different things that I might do in this stock. So let me go ahead and delete this. Let's push this guy on through. And I mean, this is it, guys. I mean, this is the Stone Cold Steve Austin certified lock of the century. Netflix going higher. Confidence interval is sitting calmly at 16 to 17%. So let's go ahead. Let's put this guy on 350 now. It's only 350. So there we go. That's better. Let's see if we can get filled. The price is dropping on this. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's good or bad. Let's try 355 just to get filled here really quick. All right, no takers. At 355, let's go in here. And I want to get somebody to take the other side of this. I know Tom will take the other side of it. So, all right, filled at 359. That's actually what the original mid price was when I first looked at it. So, all right, so Netflix is in. I will push that out on the follow page, of course, over there at the Tasty Trade. So give that guy a look. All right, let me see where you guys are at with your questions. All right, so not many questions today. Man, y'all are asleep at the wheel, but that's good. That means I'll probably be able to get through all of them that are in the chat box right now. If you still have a question for me and you get it in the chat box, I will probably be able to get to it while we are live on the show. So Paul says, good afternoon to all. What's going on there, Paul? I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you. You are a staple. You are a foundational, fundamental piece of the show. Thank you so much for being here. I think you are here almost every single day. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you very much. Anka says it's butterfly time. That is correct, Anka. And I didn't even see your comment. I didn't even see your comment before I went through my Netflix analysis and Amelia went through her Netflix analysis and we went ahead and did that trade. Thursday is just too perfect, right? I mean, we do butterflies, expecting more butterflies on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. So Thursday is like perfect because we're going to walk right into expiration day and just wake up tomorrow on third base. And so I was like, man, we just kind of walk it on in home, right? That is, of course, assuming Netflix doesn't fall by 80 to 90 points, which is almost guaranteed now that we've played it to the upside. But if it does move higher tomorrow, then we're going to be in a really, really good spot. And so thank you for being here, though, Anka. I appreciate you, my friend. Strategy and opportunities here with hopefully both a strategy and an opportunity for us all. Dr. Jim, Netflix puts for the win. Don't be scared. You must mean short puts because it's definitely going higher. So if we go in here, like if I was going to do like just a standalone short put in Netflix, I can't because my account's not big enough. But if I was going to do something like that, I wouldn't be doing like one day cycle. I mean, you didn't even ask for this, but if you want a little bit more context around, if I was going to do like a short put strategy for Netflix, you may have meant long puts, but I'm not buying premium, bro. Come on, dude. Come on. Maybe on like a Friday, right? But not on a Thursday, although Thursday is almost Friday. I would go into the 43-day cycle. And I mean, you know, look at the premiums in Netflix, man. It's crazy. I mean, you can go out to the expected move right here. You can go to the 540 strike. There's your 20 delta. And you can get $10. You can get a $10 on the bid price. You could probably get filled at 11, right? You can probably get filled somewhere in the middle, right, between those two. And why am I in the weekly? I think because I saw 43 days. Hold on. Let me delete that because I don't want to do a weekly option. Excuse me, in Netflix. I would probably go, you could even do like a May monthly. I think you'd be fine. Yeah, you're fine. You do a May monthly. You go to the expected move, right? You're still at the 540 strike. I mean, look at that. You get $9. It's 18 delta. Right? And obviously, if you want to go a bit closer, you can sell the 570 strike. You get like $17, man. That's your 30 delta. right? You go in there, you click on your bid price at the 570 strike, and you know, you're looking at, you got about $8,000 in buying power for this position. So that would mean you'd probably want to have, you know, I would say to do this comfortably, you're probably looking at about $100,000. If you got 100, 120, then you're probably fine in terms of doing this comfortably. 100 is maybe a little bit on the low end. Anything under 100, I would not touch this strategy. I would do something much lower risk. I would define my risk. I would, you know, probably just define my risk. You really can't do anything undefined risk in here. Although, actually, let me pause on that. So it's 8,400 if I were to sell the 30 delta, but it's going to be a lot less if I sell that 18 delta. So look, if I'm at the 570 strike, it's 8,400. But look at what happens if I go to the 540 strike, which is the one we were originally looking at. The buying power now, that makes sense, is going to be about $3,000 less, because the difference between 570 and 540 is $3,000 in potential risk. So naturally, you know, you have $3,000 of less risk in the trade. So the buying power is going to go down quite a bit. So you might be thinking, I don't have $100,000, but I kind of want to sell this put in Netflix. Well, you're in luck, because now you sell the 18 delta and it's like, hey, you've got, I don't know, 70, 80 grand. You could probably do this pretty comfortably. You know, I probably wouldn't do it with 50, 60. I think it's a little bit too high for even that. And you could obviously push the delta even lower. But then it's like, you get to a point where you're really not getting a ton for that risk. And so, yeah, if I was going to sell a put, this is probably what I would do. Something between the 18 delta and the 30 delta looks pretty solid. So let's go ahead and let's see here. Omid, what's going on there, Omid? Do you recommend a strangle for Netflix? If yes, which is DTE? No, I'm going to do the expected move butterfly. But if I was going to do a strangle in Netflix, I would go to this 29 days at least. You could go to 29 days, or you could even go out to June. I would pick either May or June, right? If you want a slightly faster turnaround and you're a little bit more of a risk taker, so you're less risk averse, then maybe choose May with 29 days to go. If you like things that are going to move more slowly, be a bit more gradual, be a bit more methodical, and just kind of slower moving in general, then I would choose the June at 66 days to go or 64 days to go or whatever. So that's what I would do there, Omid. And strategy and opportunity says sell them no butterflies. I'm not sure what that means, but we've already done it. So it is written. And so John Stein's in the house. What's going on there, John? A covered put in Uber. Yes, John, I know that you tweeted me about this recently. Let's take a look at this really quick. So John is thinking about doing maybe a covered put in. So you've got Uber, $70 a share. Wow, that's crazy. So if I was going to do a covered put in Uber, that would mean I'm short the stock and I'm short a put against that stock. So John, that's what a covered put would be, of course. If I was going to short Uber stock, right, that's going to be buying power of about $3,500, which is fine. There's no issue with that necessarily. But from a buying power efficiency standpoint, that's probably not what I would do. I would much prefer to go in here and do something that's maybe more of like a poor man's covered put. And I think maybe let's do it together here on the show. I haven't done one of these in a long time. So let's go and let's do it. Let's do it in Uber. That's perfectly fine. So what I would do is I would go out to, you know, I would go out to, you know, maybe June or even July. You go out to like July. So you go a couple cycles into the future. This one has 90 days to go. You go out to July and I'm going to go all the way up to where I'm at, maybe like an 85 delta on the put. So 85 delta is going to be right here. This is important because I want to have a long put that's going to more or less replicate the stock movement. So it's going to be a reasonable short stock substitute. Because if I'm short the stock, I get one for one a payoff if the stock goes down, right? In terms of, you know, the stock goes down by a dollar, I'm going to get paid by a dollar if I hold the trade all the way to expiration. Because of the extrinsic value coming in on the short put that we're going to add, it won't feel like dollar for dollar day by day until you get to expiration. But just kind of fast forwarding to what the end game looks like can be really helpful for understanding these strategies. Well, when I go to buy this 85 put, it's going to have an 84 delta. So it's like, all right, I'm getting 85% of what short stock would feel like. But take a look at this. If I go to buy this, I mean, the buying power difference is substantial, right? This is only going to be $1,500. Now, yeah, it's a $15 debit because, I mean, that is what you're paying for that put. And so don't get kind of dissuaded by the debit on the strategy because we're going to add a short layer to this here in just a minute. But that's a $1,500 buying power. That's more than half of a reduction. That's like 40% of what we were looking at with 3,500. So already it's like, all right, this is far more appealing than what we saw before. And we still have a ton of time. Like, we're in July, 92 days to go. It's pretty far in the money, so the extrinsic value is not going to decay that quickly. It's not going to decay that quickly at all. So I buy this 85 put. Let me delete those circles. I minimize July. And then maybe I go right into May. Just go right through earnings. I've got earnings coming up on May 8th. And so that's fine. Let me go right into May with 29 days to go. And the nice thing about selling May, by the way, is it includes earnings on May 8th, right? And so if I were to sell like one of these, like April 26th or May 3rd, right? Those don't include earnings. And so you don't get the IV pump that is associated with earnings on the premium with the cycles that are before earnings. Now, it's a little bit early for there to be a significant pump in earnings. So honestly, is this the best time to do this strategy? Maybe not. Maybe waiting a little closer to May 8th might be more appropriate for the strategy. But you asked me about this on Twitter. You're following up right now. I'm like, let's do it. Let's do it right now. Just to kind of work through the mechanics so you understand this and you can apply it to many different situations that come up in the future. NASDAQ now down 135. And so higher for longer is here. The emergency Fed meeting has been canceled. And so, ooh, man, it's nasty out there. So let's go ahead. Let's sell this. Let's sell this May 17th. You know, I could go in here. You've got Uber at 70. I mean, you know, just you're usually just looking to sell maybe somewhere around like a 25 to 30, 25 to 35 delta. And so if I sell like a 65, if I sell a 65 delta put for $1.50, right, I'm essentially going to have a $20 wide poor man's covered put that I have multiple opportunities to reduce the basis. I have at least June and then all the weeklies between, you know, now and the July expiration to keep reducing basis if I want to for only $13.62. So if Uber were to go down, like down past 65, and I held this position all along and I never made any more adjustments, which I know that I will do, I will be selling premium against this again at some point, I could potentially make the difference between the width on the spread of $20 minus what I pay for it of $13.60. So that'd be what, $6.40? That's a pretty nice payday. That's a pretty significant payday. Now, what would need to happen for me to lose this entire $13? Well, Uber would have to rally up past 85, past my long put strike. So that's a pretty big rally that Uber would need to kind of put in. And you can see the expected move in May. And again, this is including earnings. So even including the potential, you know, explosive move from earnings that is, you know, on the docket for May 8th, you're looking at a range of only 65 to 77, I guess, like 63 to 77. That's a fairly muted range. I mean, it's 10% either way. And so that's not a really large range. And so, especially given the fact that I have an 85 strike on my long put. So I like this strategy a lot, John. Let's go ahead and do this. And we haven't done one of these in a while. So what'll be cool is if you follow the show and you're able to watch on a regular basis, not even every day, but if you're able to just keep up with the show on a regular basis, you will see me tend to this position over time. So if you do something similar in your portfolio or just want to learn about poor man's covered calls or poor man's covered puts over time, although the same would apply to a poor man's covered call, I suppose, then you can just follow the show and you'll get to see this thing managed and adjusted in real time. So let's go ahead and let's put this guy on. All right, fill that 1365. So thank you, John. That's great. I hope that kind of answered your question and gave you some things to think about when it comes to poor man's covered puts or covered puts in general. Generally speaking, the poor man's covered puts can be a better option than the covered put because the capital efficiency is significant, as we saw. And also sometimes, not necessarily now with Uber, but sometimes you have a hard time borrowing stock. Like you see hard to borrow on, you know, like a Donald Trump media or like a whatever. It can be difficult to borrow that stock. And then you can't do a cover put like you'd want to do a cover put. And so, yeah, hopefully that helps. Farm D Eric's in the house. What's going on there, Farm D Eric? Dr. Jim, I've been listening since 2019. We appreciate the wisdom and entertainment. Can't say it makes me money, but it certainly helps me through the day. Well, then you must be tailing all my trades. And I've tried to tell you, man, I've tried to tell you as many times as I can. And I will remind you right now, if you do the opposite of everything that I do, you will be able to retire a minimum of 18 to 24 months early. Like, again, you're going to have to wait a little bit to reap the benefits of this. You got to let the compound interest kick in, and you got to let all these different things, inflationary effects kind of, you know, dwindle over time, whatever. But we're talking 18 months, minimum 18 months expedited retirement from fading all of my picks. And so, Farm D Eric, I appreciate you, my friend. I appreciate you sticking it with me, even if the picks are that bad. And thank you, my friend. Raul says, good afternoon to all, Dr. Jim. How about some new zero DTE strategies? Oh, man, y'all are just hitting me where it hurts today. Zero DTE. I don't know, man. I haven't done a zero DTE in a while. I know all you guys are all doing. You're doing Maria shoe trades. You're doing strangle straddle swaps. You guys are getting a little too advanced for me, man. What is tomorrow? And there's really nothing tomorrow. I'm going to pass on that, Raul. I'm going to wait for some CPIs and feds and things like that. You know, like Netflix earnings. We already have our Netflix earnings trade, you know, for tonight. So I'm just going to wait and kind of let that guy simmer on the back burner. But I'm going to pass on that, Raul. But definitely stay tuned because we might do some zero DTs and one DTs, you know, moving out here into the very near future. So Viney T, I missed the book names. Can someone please share it again? Oh, there you go. And then Anka says the one from Julia is the Unlucky Investor's Guide to Options Trading. Yes, it's a great book. I actually have it right here on my desk because I read it to my kids at night to put them to sleep. And so here is, no, I don't do that. I read it to myself to put myself to sleep. This is it. This is what it looks like. It is red. It is an unbelievable resource, all kidding aside. I mean, Julia and I know Anton did a lot with this book. I mean, they really, man, I mean, it is a really, really great resource to have. And just really, you know, something that's awesome. I mean, I find myself consulting it from time to time to think about different portfolio metrics and think about different, you know, volatility metrics and things like that. And so it's a great resource. I would give it a look. I think it's only 15 or 18 bucks, you know, on Amazon. And, you know, obviously once Julia gives her 30 to 40% to Tom off the top, she gets a little something. She gets a little something on the backside of that. So that's good. It's really, really good. So Harold says, whoa, not a lot of questions. Have no fear. Harold Montero is here. And I appreciate you, Harold. Question number one, why are the Yankees the greatest team in sports history? Yeah, I can't answer that, man. All I know is, I mean, the Red Sox, they're not even a professional ball club at this point. Like, I know that the Yankees have faltered a little bit. Like, your boy Juan Soto, I mean, he can hit, but, man, he cannot play right field. And so I'm pretty sure I've got a stronger cannon than he's got. But I think our at the, you know, in the box at the plate differences might be somewhat significant. But your Yankees are faltering a little bit, my friend. And so I really hope that they turn around here soon for your sake. And so let's see. Anka, oh, Dr. Jim, did you ever publish a book? No, I did not. At least not one that I'd like to make publicly known right now. And so I do actually have an idea for a book that I might do at some point in the near to distant future. That's all I got for you right now, but I have an idea for a book. I actually think it could be reasonably, well received by people. I think it could be something that could help some traders out there. And so, yeah, none yet there, Anka, but you'll have to stay tuned for what might be coming on down the chutes. And so Farm D Eric says, I'm always here. I'm lurking in the shadows. I appreciate you, Farm D Eric. I appreciate you so much, my friend. And so Harold's back. If selling strangles are preferred to sell when the VIX is high, what if the VIX is in the mid-teens and the IVR is high? Right. Is this just IV expanding? And if IVR goes higher, IV is still expanding. If I worded that correctly, I'm a tasty trade graduate with honors. Yes, that's correct. So generally speaking, like the basis of your question is the following. What's more important? IV? And, you know, in other words, like the VIX, like market level implied volatility, or given stocks implied volatility, or the implied volatility rank, like which one is more important? Well, I think they're both important, and I'll explain why here in just a second. But if I had to choose which one is more important, I would say that the implied volatility rank is going to be at least a nudge, at least a skosh ahead of raw implied volatility. Because remember, implied volatility rank shows us where implied volatility is relative to itself over the last 12 months. So when I'm thinking about volatility mean reversion, something that we know happens in the market, sadly, we don't know when it's going to happen and we can't, you know, time it perfectly, you know, every single time. And if we could, then this thing would just be too easy, which it certainly isn't that. And so volatility mean reversion is something that exists in the market and we want to position ourselves for it, at least probabilistically, but we can never know for sure that's going to happen. Okay. That being said, by selling when IV rank is high, we're able to give ourselves a tiny bit of a, I don't even want to call it an advantage because I'm not sure that it is a true advantage, but we're just probabilistically, you know, moving up the scale for, you know, putting ourselves in a better position to sell volatility relative to where when implied volatility rank is low. And what I mean by that is this, you know, if the implied volatility rank is climbing at a certain point, the volatility in that stock is going to calm down, right? At a certain point. I mean, even GameStop finally calmed down. Now, GameStop's a really extreme example because, you know, it obviously took a lot of people out on the way up with the volatility expansion. So you have to be aware that that can happen and will happen. And you have to be prepared for that. But, you know, by and large, if you stay away from the meme stocks and you stay away from the, you know, the crap coins and you stay away from basically everything that Tom's doing and you just stick with, like, you know, the S&P 100 stocks, it's very unlikely that you're going to be caught in a vol expansion storm like that one that you really can't get out of, right? I mean, if you stick with like Netflixes and Amazons, it's like, yes, you can get hurt, don't get me wrong, but it's probably not going to feel like a GME, like an AMC, like a Bed Bath & Beyond, like something like that. So it would be IV rank. Now, why is IV important? Well, IV is important because remember, IV is what goes into the option pricing model. So IV is the thing that actually computes the option price. So we want higher IV, higher raw IV, because that gives us higher option prices. And so the best case scenario is high IV and high IVR. But if I had to choose between the two, I would choose high IVR. So hopefully that helps you a little bit there, Harold. So thank you so much. Let me try to get to one more. And the show just evaporated on me just quickly. Kind of like this down move in the market. Now the market's down 100. NASDAQ's down 100 at least. So hold on. We got Mr. King's in the house. Dr. Jim, I have a leap call on AMD. 175 January 17th, 2025 expiration. I opened this last month and I have been selling calls against it. Now that AMD is going low, my leap call is losing more. Is there a question, Mr. King? Okay. I don't see a question there, Mr. King. And I'm just about out of time. And so you have a leap call on AMD at 175. You're selling calls against it. I mean, essentially with AMD going down, where is AMD right now? 154. Yeah. I mean, the move here is to keep selling calls. I mean, the move here is to just keep selling calls and keep reducing that basis. And obviously the stock going down is going to hurt and it's going to be, you know, not what you want to have happen, but that's really the only move that you have here if you want to continue to hold this position. Because if you try to roll that long call out in time, you're going to have to pay more and you're going to have to increase your risk. But guys, I got to run. I gave you guys the Lock, Stock, and Barrel, Stone Cold Steve Austin certified Netflix play. Now just do the opposite of what I did and you will be perfectly fine. But I appreciate you guys so much. If I can ever help you guys in any way, please email me. I am jschultz@tastylive.com, or we can connect on Twitter. I'm @jschultzf3. I would love to hear from you guys on there as well. But stay tuned. We've got Jamal coming up next with Engineering the Trade. In the meantime, guys, trade them small, trade them heavy, and stay generous. See you guys tomorrow.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.